You are listening to the End Around Podcast, and we are talking about the Falcons All-Decade Team. Will McFadden, Kelsey Conway, thanks for joining me on this sunny Friday afternoon. How you guys doing?
Good, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. Kels, how are you? Where are you, Kelsey?
I'm great. I am in Maryland, and I am back home with my family, just enjoying some time. So,
cool. So we've been talking a lot about this All-Decade Team, and this week we are unveiling the defense and special teams units. And before we get into that and go into the list, I just want to ask each one of you, where were you when this decade began, specifically 2010? What were you doing? And where were you and how closely were you following this Falcons team? Kelsey, you're up.
Wow. Okay. Are you ready for this? So yeah. 2010, I was in my freshman year at University of Cincinnati. And to answer your question, I was all about Cincinnati football, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I was not following the Falcons very closely. I've said it, when I first started with the Falcons, I pretty much only knew about Matt Ryan, Roddy White, and Julio Jones. So for me, this project has been really fun because I've gotten to learn, obviously, you know, having been with the team now for this 6 seasons, I've started to, you know, get to know some of these guys, watching Willie Mo's highlights, you know, things like that. You hear about Abe, and I was here when Babineau, was his final season, was my first year. But it was fun to kind of learn more about some of these guys who I've heard so much about, you know, through different people in the organization, or like I said, you know, watching old games, that it was really fun to kind of just like, you know, dig deep and learn more about this decade of Falcons football.
Who day? The Bengals. Who was their quarterback? I guess the Red Rifle, right?
Yeah, it was Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. They had some good years. Mm-hmm. Good. Will, where were you?
So I was in Marietta, Georgia, just down the road from Atlanta. Grew up here. I was getting ready to the 2010 season would have been the fall of my junior year in high school. I grew up a Falcons fan. My family had season tickets. So probably was going to several of those games. You know, it's interesting because I just went back and rewatched the entire 2010 season, and that team was really the first great Falcons team since the 98 season. 2004 was good, but that 2010 team just won the number of times that they would have a 13-play drive to start the game and just run Michael Turner down people's throats was really impressive to watch. Mike Smith loved to go for it on fourth down that year. So even going back and rewatching this season kind of put me back in the shoes of, you know, when I was just watching at home in my parents' couch, or, you know, if it was a good Sunday from the Georgia Dome. What about you, Matt? Where were you in 2010?
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, I never thought I'd end up in Atlanta. In 2010, I moved from North Carolina to Fort Lauderdale, and it was my first year with CBS Sports, and one of the first covers that I made for the website was, believe it or not, I was thinking about it, I have a picture of it, was the Falcons. It was Matt Ryan running out. They used to have those, you know, those fireworks in the Georgia Dome. And I remember there was this picture of Matt Ryan I chose for the cover on CBSSports.com. And I'll tell you what, that was a great team, but I never, ever dreamed that I would be in Atlanta covering the Falcons. But yeah, it's interesting you bring up that 2010 team. When people read our roundtable, it's one of those teams that I think is forgotten about when you think of the great teams of the last decade. And yet you mentioned Michael Turner led the league in rushing.
I would give anything to go back in time and be able to watch Michael Turner in the Georgia Dome based off of how everybody talks about him and how he made those runs, and then the Ludacris song, which I'm not going to repeat because it's not appropriate for the setting. But I would give anything to go back and watch him play.
Yeah, he led the league in rushing, and that team won 12 of 13 games at one point, opened with a heartbreaker in Pittsburgh on the road in overtime. Think about if they'd won that game. Holy cow. And then Roddy White led the league in catches and yards. No Julio Jones on that team.
Nope.
No. No Julio. And they were dominant. And that defense, Abraham, 13 sacks, fifth in the league. They were top five in points allowed, top five scoring. That may have been one of the most balanced teams in franchise history. Should have won. Should have went far. They were top seed. And then the eventual Super Bowl champions came into the Georgia Dome, knocked them out. They just
don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's talk about this. All right, so the All-Decade team, which was voted upon by people in the organization, local and national media, former players, and people of the like, came to, and we have the list now. It is, I'm just going to rattle through it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about anybody, you know, other than their position, but let's just go through it. The defensive ends were John Abraham and Vic Beasley. I'm looking up because I'm reading it. The defensive tackles were Jonathan Babineau and Grady Jarrett. Linebackers were Deion Jones, Curtis Lofton, and Sean Weatherspoon. Cornerbacks, Desmond Trufant, Robert Alford. Safeties, William Moore, Ricardo Allen. And the flex position was Brent Grimes. Special teamers, kicker Matt Bryant, punter Matt Bosher, returner Devin Hester, long snapper Josh Harris, and then a special teams write-in was Eric Weems. Okay, so let's get into this team, guys. Let's get, well, the defensive side anyway. We'll talk special teams in a minute. I'm gonna just get, you know, go back and forth with you guys on this. But first thing, there was only one unanimous pick on defense, one on special teams, but only one. And those two names, Grady Jarrett and Matt Bryant, were the two unanimous picks. Not surprising. But are you two a little surprised that there weren't more unanimous picks on defense? Will, kick it off. And then, Kelsey, I want to get your take.
Yes, because John Abraham should have been a unanimous pick. Let's be honest. We're talking about a franchise here that doesn't have an overwhelming amount of great pass rushers in their history. And John Abraham was certainly one of them. So I think he suffered a little bit from the fact that, you know, he only played 2010 to 2012, I believe, three seasons there. So I'm sure that you had some voters who probably, you know, tended to give credit towards the later end of the decade, maybe when they started really paying attention to the team or something like that. But I mean, consistent double-digit sack guy, John Abraham, 100% should have been unanimous. And I mean, it's a crime that he wasn't.
Crime. That's, you just think it was just Abraham was the one glaring omission, Will?
Yeah, I think so.
Kelsey, what about you? Do you think, were you surprised that there weren't more unanimous picks or no?
No, I agree with Will that I think that, I mean, how could Abraham not be on it? But the one that I think certainly should have been on it that wasn't, that really blew my mind that wasn't a unanimous pick, is Jonathan Babineau. And I mean, when you look at how long he played in Atlanta, how productive he was, I know he wasn't the most flashy player, but he played for 11 seasons every single year of his career in Atlanta. I just think when you think of like unanimous things like that, that you usually go with the guy that's, you know, played his whole career there or had a really successful career. I know sometimes the guys like, you know, Asante Samuel, he didn't play in Atlanta for that long. So that's why, you know, you wonder if that, you know, made a difference in him not making the All-Decade team. But I definitely think Jonathan Babineau should have been on a unanimous selection.
Yeah, I think you're both. I agree with both of you. I definitely think Abraham and Babineau is interesting too, guys, because he played different positions. They moved him around, you know, and I don't think that necessarily hurt him in the voting. Maybe it did. I don't know. It's not like linebackers is especially strong. But yeah, I think you can make a really, really strong case for Babs, even if he did play different positions, even, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm not surprised. And just, and I'm not going to go into the big diatribe over this, but I think that, you know, when you think of the Atlanta Falcons throughout its history and just even in this last decade and all the Matt Ryan you know, the Matt Ryan era, defense hasn't been this team's calling card. It really hasn't. They've had a couple teams that were, you know, decent. You know, there was a top 10 unit in 17, and then we talk about the 2010 team. But if they had, like, I think we were talking earlier, Kelsey, you made a comment that if this team had just one, two, three, four more guys that just had some star power, Pro Bowlers, you wonder if that could have gotten, you know, this team that's had some really nice seasons over the hump. But it is what it is. And okay, so Kelsey, which group then do you think has been the strongest? Which position group on this defense has been the strongest in your mind over the last decade?
I'm going to have to go with the secondary, just because, okay, like Will said earlier, there has not been a lot of good pass rushers and interior defensive linemen that really stand out to me. And I know you guys both feel strongly about the linebacker position, so I'll let you guys take that one. But when I look at, you know, the secondary, I just think, okay, Willie Moe, Keanu Neal, Ricardo Allen, Robert Alford, Desmond Trufant, I think you've gotten your best bet when you banked a look at, okay, where did the most amount of talent come from in a combined position? I would say they've had their most talented players in the secondary at cornerback and safety.
Interesting take. I didn't expect you to say that, but you backed it up. And Will, what says you?
All right, so my real thought is more specific. It's safety, but because Kelsey called us out, I'm going to take on the challenge and I'm going to defend the linebacker position for this decade by saying...
Wait, you're saying that the linebacker group is the strongest?
What?
I'm going to say that if you want to look at it on a year-by-year basis, every year they had at least a capable linebacker in the group. So you start in 2010, you got Curtis Lofton. That transitions to Sean Weatherspoon. Stephen Nicholas was in there. He was pretty good for a couple years. Paul Warlow goes there. And then you go Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell. So there was never a multi-year gap where they were just like atrocious at linebacker. So for the whole decade, I think safety is the best position. But if you're going to look a year-by-year basis, there were some years where the safety position was not as good as the linebacker position. So I'll give the consistency to linebackers.
Okay, well, I think based on what you guys said when we opened talking about this team, you made my case for me. Defensive line. You both, I mean, Grady Jarrett, we said that Abraham, you know, well, he's more defensive end, but I mean, Grady Jarrett.
That's part of the defensive line. Defensive end is part of the defensive line. You're Babineau, safe. You're good.
Babineau and Grady Jarrett. Come on. You're talking, that's like, Brady's in line to be the best defensive lineman in this team's history. And Babineau right now is I think, you know, you would have to say statistically owns it. But, I mean, Grady's arrow right now, and when I wrote a comment, when he re-signed and got his deal, which, by the way, he turned around and probably last year he probably had his best season. Yeah. I just think those two – consistently, you look at everybody else, like you said, there's been one really good linebacker to me this decade, and then a bunch of guys. Yep. There's been, I think safety's been strong, and I think it could, to me, Keanu Neal has so much potential. That's why this year is so big for him. But, we can get into like which team of the decade has the most talented roster, but I'm going to go with defensive linemen. It's specifically, I know I mentioned in end, but the interior is the group I think has been the strongest.
I feel like before we move on, I should let the listeners know that we did not all pick positions before this recording. This is truly how we feel.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So in looking at the list, guys, is there one name on it that really surprised you? We're talking defense still. Is there just a name on there that you're like, wow, I can't believe he made the list? Or we'll get into like, you know, maybe some missing names in a minute, but I'm talking about names that are on the list. Feel free to take it.
I definitely think that there's one name on the list that not saying it surprised me because I think they're really deserving, but I'm going to get on my soapbox here and call the Falcons fans who hated Robert Alford out, because for so long I felt like all of my Twitter mentions for 3 years were just trashing Robert Alford. And then, you know, he earned some respect for his performance in the Super Bowl. And then because, you know, he committed so many penalties, he was an easy one to, you know, kind of call out. Well, when you look back on the last decade and you look at last year and the Falcons cornerback situation and what they're, I mean, we don't know what they're going to be this year, but Robert Alford was a really good player for the Falcons. He obviously, like I mentioned, the penalties were kind of, you know, the thing that really bugged people, but for the most part, he was a really good cover guy. He was really fast. He was a good locker room player. And I think when I looked and I saw Robert Alford made the team, I was like, you know, good for Rocky, because he took it pretty hard from the fans.
Well, what says you on this? Is there a name that surprises you at all?
Like Kelsey, I'm glad Robert Alford's on there. I would say Curtis Lofton was a little bit surprising to me. He was a good linebacker while he was in Atlanta, but he really only played two seasons in this decade. And he was really much more of your traditional, typical downhill run stuffing linebacker, didn't have a ton of versatility, you know, when it came to coverage. And that was something that we saw that got Mike Smith's defenses in trouble as the decade progressed, is these linebackers who just weren't built to handle the way the NFL game was going. So I would have put Devondre Campbell on this list over Curtis Lofton, because I think he just did more for the defense and he did it for longer. When Deion Jones was down, Devondre picked up the slack.
You're talking about omissions. Don't get it. Don't go there. Save that.
All right. Well, then Curtis Lofton being on this list, it's not what I would have gone with.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's tough when you're just talking about one decade and you're talking about, we just teed this up by saying, you know what, the Falcons haven't had a rich tradition when it comes to defense or any one position. You don't, you know, when you think of the great Parcells teams, you know, you think of linebackers. Bill Parcells used to joke, I collect linebackers. When you think of the Chicago Bears, what do you think of? You think of Butkus. You think of Peyton, you think of Gale Sayers, you think of Butkus, right? When you think of, you know, the Packers or the Steelers, you think of the Steel Curtain. And so when you think, or Dallas, you think of those doomsday defenses with the late Tom Landry or even Jimmy Johnson's defenses. But the Falcons just haven't had those units that scare people, except unless you want to go back to the Grits Blitz era, but they didn't have the offense to go with it, but that's right. A different decade, so we can't talk about it. But I'm going to take Kelsey's angle and say, and just judging, you know, what fans are going to think, because, you know, I listen to him every morning. And when you look at Vic Beasley on that list as the all decade.
But who was his competition?
Exactly. But people are going to see Vic Beasley all decade. And you want to talk about a guy who took so much BS, right? Maybe he deserved some of it. A lot of it he probably didn't. But he did lead this league in sacks 1 year. And then last year, he really turned it on in the second half of the season. He was very productive in the second half of that season when they went 6-2. Maybe too little too late, but I think that's just a name that people are going to see it and go, oh, Vic Beasley, all decade. Wow. But to your point, who's the competition, right? Adrian.
As Blake closest Kirk? Competition is probably Croy Bierman. And so, you know.
Or AC?
Yeah, I would say Adrian Claiborne.
You know, Adrian had the great game, you know, against Dallas. He had 6 sacks, you know, franchise record. But he was consistent, but just not, didn't put up huge numbers year in and year out. Great locker room guy. But yeah, there's just not a rich history at defensive end. You know, Babineau was moved around. He played a bit. Anyways, I think Vic Beasley's the guy to me that people are going to see that and go, Okay, that's kind of surprising. All right, so Will, you mentioned Devondre Campbell as a guy that was an omission. You want to just finish that thought, and then Kelsey, you know, tell me who you think, you know, is a surprising omission, if you have one. If not, just say so.
Yeah, so I mean, Devondre, what he was able to do, the number of roles that he kind of had for this Falcons defense during the time that he was on the roster, I mean, they tried, it felt like every single offseason we were hearing coaches talk about, you know, we're going to have Devondre in this role this year. You know, he's going to be working on his pass rushing, and he's going to be coming off the edge, or he's really going to be our guy covering tight ends, or he's just his versatility and the length that he had for this defense, and throwing him kind of in the fire right away with that 2016 defensive class that, you know, was the first one to have four rookies starting in the Super Bowl. He was really important in a way that I don't think, when we're talking about the linebacker group, that wasn't that great. I just think that he did more for the defense for a little while longer than anybody else, which is why I would have had him on this list.
I'm just going to just say, because I'm not going to make a big case on this, Kelsey, before you go, I agree. I think Trey should have been on this team. I think he had a great year. They were a top 10 unit not long ago. There's a lot of expectations with this team coming off a Super Bowl run. You know, that defense was pretty good. Yeah, they had their struggles and stuff like that. But what team this decade didn't have disappointing finishes? You know, so look, I think there's a lot of talent on that 2016, 2017, 2018 defense. It just didn't meet their, you know, did it meet it? Did they meet the expectations? No. But I think Devondre Campbell and the numbers he put up year in, he got better every single year he played here. So I don't know. He's kind of like Austin Hooper to me. He got better. They didn't blow you away, but each year he got better. And Dre got better every single season. Anyway, that's all I have to say about Campbell. What says you?
I don't really feel so strongly about this, but I would say Adrian Claiborne. I would assume he would be the defensive end, you know, other than Abraham. I think I definitely picked Adrian Claiborne over Vic Beasley. And I just did that simply because outside of the 1 year that Vic, you know, really put up big numbers, I know you mentioned he was, you know, successful towards the end of last season. I just think Adrian Claiborne, even though he was kind of a role player, he was really productive. If you look at his numbers, 21 sacks in the time that he was in Atlanta. And when I just look at it like this, Vic was a first round pick and there was so much asked of Vic and he just didn't live up to the expectations. Whereas Adrian Claiborne comes in towards the end of his career and all he does is produce for the Falcons. So like I said, it's not one that I'm going to, you know, fall on the sword for, but I thought Adrian Claiborne would get that spot. But like I said to you, the defensive end position, when you really went back and looked at it, it was like, it's not a whole lot of really overwhelming talent there.
Yeah. All right, let's move on from defense and talk special teams. Not surprising, the headliner there, franchise's all-time leading scorer, money, Matt Bryant is the headliner. Okay, are you guys surprised when you look at Matt Bosher? Think about, you know, all the other punters this decade. Devin Hester, Josh Harrison, Eric Weems. Are you surprised there aren't more unanimous picks on special teams?
Yes. Again, Eric Weems should be a unanimous special teams player. Right. And furthermore, he should be the returner over Devin Hester. Get Devin Hester off this list. He played for 2 years.
Wow.
Move over, Hall of Famer. Okay. Yeah.
But that's fine. He's a great player. He just did it for Chicago. Eric Weems actually played for like the whole decade in Atlanta and did like everything for special teams. And he was a really good returner. He had 2 1,000-yard seasons as a returner. He was a good returner. Let's reward him for that. Let's reward a guy who played in Atlanta.
I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying, Devin Hester, wow. You're talking like best returner like ever.
Of all time.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. He did it in Chicago.
Who will forget the sideline, Dion, homage to Dion when he broke the record. I mean, that's like an iconic moment in Falcons history, guys.
Is this an all-decade team, or is this just an all-iconic moments of the decade team, Matt?
Kelsey, are you surprised there weren't more unanimous picks?
No, not more unanimous picks, but
Who was better than Matt Bosher at punting? Come on.
Right. I don't know. I just think when you think unanimous, it's like the no-brainer, which, of course, at punter, it's no-brainer, but...
Who voted for somebody else other than Matt Bosher? That's what I want.
That's a good point. Present yourself.
Michael Kanin was a good punter. I will just defend Michael Kanin, but it should have been Matt Bosher, but Michael Kanin was a good punter.
Okay, so now we know who will vote for. What about Josh Harris? Who's been a better long snapper here in Atlanta the last decade?
That is a really good question.
Nobody. That's a no-brainer.
Okay, so we know voted for Harris. Okay. All right, well, you know. I don't know. You guys have any more thoughts on special teams?
I think we should talk quickly about who were some other guys that you thought, if there was another special teams player role, that you would have put on? Because I found myself, remember how good Nate Stupar was on special teams? Patrick DeMarco was good on special teams. There's been a couple of guys who have been good on special teams. Obviously not of, you know, the impact that Weems was, but there were a couple of guys that when you look back there were some good solid core special teams players, like Leroy Reynolds was when he was here. Hopefully he'll be that again for them this year. But there were a couple of players that I was like, you could make a case.
I don't know. I can't. That list right there was all my votes. So I can't back off that.
I'm putting Younghoe Koo on the list just because he got 4 onside kicks last year, which is like insane. And he should just automatically be on this list for that.
You know, if he could have an onside kick every game next season, then Money Matt still deserves to be on that list. Come on.
Hey, she wanted to add a person. She wanted to, I never saw Matt Bryant making 3 onside kicks in a game.
You were the guy that wanted to make the argument that Matt Bryant was the most important player in the decade.
I think you can. I think you can make that argument.
Okay, well, which is it?
Jesus.
All right, did you want to name somebody?
Me? I did.
No, I forget. It's right. She made her case for a handful of players. Never mind.
Yeah.
I didn't know if, okay, yeah, all right. I don't know, guys. Defense, if this team's going to get over the hump, because how many teams in the last decade, Will or Kelsey, had double-digit wins in the last decade?
Dolphins teams?
Yeah. You had?
3.
3 or 4, right? I mean, you had 2017, they won 10. 2010, they won 13.
2016.
They won 11. 11. And then 2010. No, they won 11. They won. Whatever.
And then they won 13 and 12, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so 4.
So, and you could argue that 2 of those teams, they had top 10 type defenses.
3. 2012, 2010, 2017.
So, you know. Yeah.
I mean, that's the key.
That's what this team needs. This team is loaded year in and year out with Matt Ryan in this era. They have been more than potent on offense, with or without Julio.
You know, Matt, you say that, and...
This defense needs to step up. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's interesting that I don't think I would have really... thought of until I looked back at the last decade. And when, you know, you said, what position group do you think was the best? And then, you know, what do we think was the worst? I think the issue has been is depth. So, you know, we talk about, Will, you said something like every year the Falcons have had like one like really good linebacker. You need more than one really good linebacker. You need more than one really good cornerback. You definitely need more than one good pass rusher. So I think when I look back on it, that's been kind of where I think the Falcons have missed the mark, is having multiple players at positions in, I guess we're talking about depth here, but like if you look at the Falcons on offense, it's, you know, pick your poison at receiver. You got to shut down Julio. Okay, then Calvin goes off. And on defense, it's you shut down Grady, and then it's, I mean, you just kind of throw your hands up in the air and hope that Tack or Vic last year would get to the quarterback, and they weren't that successful doing it. So I didn't really realize that until I looked back on the last decade, and I think adding depth is something that they've really not had, and so it'll be interesting because they do have more depth this year, but holding off on any thoughts until training camp.
Yeah, depth and depth is huge because of it's a contact sport, y'all. It's guys get hurt, and our fans seem to think like, well, you know what, Arch, they're not playing enough in the preseason, or the trainer's got to go. No, it's a contact sport. Guys get hurt, and you need depth. And if this defense, too, when you think about it, has been just hit, devastated, especially as of late, when it comes to injuries, from Deion to Keanu, Ricardo. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just been.
I also look at depth when you look at it from the standpoint of, I said I thought the secondary was the most talented position they've had in the last decade. It kind of seems like the year since they've had decent enough cornerbacks that can hold their own, they've missed it up front. And then it's like, okay, now they have Dante Fowler, Grady Jarrett, Tyler Davidson. What's that secondary going to look like? Because I think we could all agree the position of question most on the defense is the secondary. So it's kind of interesting when you look at all three levels of it.
Yeah, right now especially. Will, wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about this year, like, you see a team, even in our own division, the Saints, I think, are exactly an example to use of how important defense is. You know, they had three straight 7-9 seasons. Falcons are coming back to back 7-9 seasons. And it really wasn't until they started building that defense and focusing on that until they started once again asserting themselves as a premier NFC team. So the Falcons are going to be good on offense. Under Matt Ryan, while he's here, while Julio Jones is here, like, they can conjure up enough weapons around those two guys to put together a top 15 offense. The key is you've got to have that other side of the ball. They've got to be working in tandem. They've got to get turnovers. They've got to force sacks that create punts that get the offense the ball back. You can't be giving up two touchdowns in the first quarter and playing from behind every game again in 2020. I mean, there's no surprise that we saw the defense improve in 2019, and then you go 6-2.
Why,
there you go.
Why did you have to bring up the Saints, and why did you have to bring up linebackers in the Saints? You know that
I hate still, all good things, Matt.
Well, you know, I'm still a little, I don't know, raw over the draft, you know? Zach Bond going to New Orleans, I did not like that. I love that pick, and I think he's going to provide that depth, and it's just, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But we had some pretty good picks. I will say this about the draft. I like the defensive picks. Everyone talks about Marlon Davidson, but Terrell, he's got size. He checks a lot of boxes. I think he's going to surprise. And I also like the linebacker and the safety, Hawkins and Walker. So we'll see. That's all I got. Kels, good?
Great. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know me. Don't talk to me about defense. I'm all about offense. I'm one of the people in the building you don't like. Do you know how many times Matt says this building loves offense? Well, I'll just say it. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, we need some war daddies. War daddies. All right, guys. Thanks for jumping on. And, you know, we'll talk some offense here next.